Welcome back to Charting the Course. We're thrilled to sit down and bring you an update on everything that's gone on here at Full Sail the last 6 months. As many of you are aware, we are now part of the Mercer Advisors family. Based in Denver, Colorado, Mercer Advisors is one of the top RIA firms in the U.S. They've achieved the number one spot in both 2024 and 2025 Barron's Top 100 RIA rankings. We are confident that this partnership will not only increase the level of service we're providing current clients, but will also allow our team to unlock and renew growth as we seek to serve the needs of the affluent families across Oklahoma. Today, I'm joined in studio by David Stanley, Zach Reynolds, and Scott Cravens, the three founding partners of Full Sail Capital. We just wanted to take some time, provide some context behind the decision, as well as clarify and highlight the path forward. We are all very excited for this next chapter, and we cannot be more appreciative of our families, our clients, our community partners, and everyone else who has supported this journey. Now, before we jump into our conversation, I did just want to take some time to individually thank our team, because everybody has played a part in getting us to this position that we're in today. David, Zach, and Scott, I know we're about to talk and discuss this, but I do just want to say thank you from all of us for your leadership and your vision. Catherine, want to give a major shout out to you and just your operations team for everything you've done, just keeping this ship afloat, if you will. But you and your team of Blake, Katie, and Kate, just from the operations and service side, we just cannot be more appreciative of everything you do for us and everything you do for our clients. Sam and Austin, part of the investment team working with Zach, we thank you guys for everything you do behind the scenes just to make sure we're operating as efficiently and effectively as we possibly can. Max, Kyle, Hunter, Jordan, George, just thank you guys for your dedication, your focus to your clients, everything you do on a day-in, day-out basis that has made and built this place into what it's become. Candace, Guy, I've got to give you a shout-out for just your marketing effort over the years. It's been an honor and a privilege to work with you, and we just can't thank you enough for all the marketing efforts you did to help get Full Sail's name out there. And last but not least, many of you have not met her yet, but Belinda Richardson joined us over the summer in the middle of this chaotic period. But you'll be getting to know her, but she's going to be heading up our new business development efforts here really across the state. So, Belinda, we appreciate you joining the team. Okay, well, it's time for me to shut up. Let's get to my conversation with these three. I'm super excited to sit down. For those asking, I don't know if this is the last podcast. It may be. It may not be. Time will tell. So, David, Scott, Zach, it's fun to be back down in the podcast room. I really wanted to sit down with you three and get kind of the story of the past at least 18 months, let's call it. I wanted to get it in a podcast so we could use it, we could send it out. I want our listeners, our clients to hear the story directly from you. A lot of them have heard it, but I think this just gives us another avenue to explain everything. So for those that don't know, we are now part of the Mercer Advisors family here in Oklahoma City. Mercer is based out of Denver. We're going to get into Mercer here in a little bit, but I want to back up and I want to talk a little bit of Full Sail Capital, this incredible firm that you three stepped out and created. So let's go back to, I guess, early 2018. We can go back behind past that if you guys want to and talk about when the idea started. But let's go just remind people kind of where the idea for Full Sail came out of. David, I know you really always kind of tee this up well, so I'll kind of let you start. But let's go all the way back, and then we'll get everybody caught up and to where we are today.
Thank you, Tyler. Really, it all goes back to Zach Reynolds. All roads lead back to Zach. He had to convince me, the old stodgy guy, that what we were actually doing at our previous company, while it was fine and it was good and it was what everyone else was doing in the investment world, we were actually not doing the very best we could do for our clients based on the evidence that was out there, and it's still, that evidence is still true today. And
sure,
every day he brought me a white paper, every single day, week. He was very patient with me because he could tell I had 20 years of brainwashing I had to overcome. And the last white paper he left me was infuriating because it was Jack Bogle, and it just had basic, like, child math. They'd explain on the deal, and I was like, damn it, he's right.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, he kept it simple. And so really, then we launched that to Full Sail Capital. So honestly, we owe everything from the not only the inception of Full Sail Capital to kind of Zach, but also he was always kind of our main visionary leader.
Yeah.
Within Full Sail Capital. It was so funny when we first started, people were coming up to him and others going, you know, I hope David Stanley hasn't led you down the wrong path and he's probably influenced you guys. I was going to my friends going, they're taking advantage of me. But it was like, no, he is the one from day one that did it. I'm thankful that I've been on the run.
Well, David's always very, very kind when he tells the story. But the truth is, and I've told him this and I'll tell everybody this, there's no way I could have done this or I would have done this without David and without Scott. Yep. Now, Scott took less convincing. I think it was about 20-minute conversation, and he's like, "All right, let's go."
He had this horrible look on his face when we told him what we were thinking.
But the end of the conversation, he was ready to rock.
And Zach and I, and the last thing I'll say, let Zach go. But I told him too. I said when we were talking about Scott joining us, because it was us first that talked about it, I said, you know, a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. So I went back to that, and I go, I think we need Scott. And then Scott gave us this horrible look, goes, let me have a night to think about it. And the next day he was irritated with us, but he was coming.
Well, preview of comments later in the podcast about, you know, Mercer Advisors, but the truth about this business, like all things, is it's not what you do, it's who you do it with.
That's it.
And that's the thing that matters the most to me. So there was nobody that I wanted to do this with more. That's for sure. And if they were going to do it, I was going. So.
We are going to get to that because the people matter, but I think that was key of you three. And again, we can dive in as much as you want, but it wasn't eye to eye all the time for 7 years.
For sure not. And we've said this many times. I think one of our strengths is our differences.
Yeah.
And I mean, we do view the world a little differently, each of us, but at each of our hearts, along with you and everybody else who we've hired here, is serving the client and doing the right thing for the client.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we may have disagreements, debates, but it's always in service of doing the right thing for the client. And, you know, going back to like some of the reasons we started, and I think kind of leads into some of the reasons we partner with Mercer Advisors, was, as David said, it became increasingly clear that there was a better, more evidence-based, data-driven approach to investing clients' money that would result in less risk and better returns. And that was our promise to clients. And in addition to that, we knew we could improve the technological experience. Mm-hmm. We could offer more of a family office approach as an RIA, a registered investment advisor. That's what Mercer Advisors is as well. Scott was able to bring what I consider really a unique skill set in the RIA world with his real estate background and his expertise. And then as we added folks like you, Tyler, with your employee benefit and 401k background, you know, Max Rhodes is an attorney, Kyle Ray with his he's just a great advisor. You know, we've just hired
focus
really good folks, Jordan Dean, everybody on the team, our client service team that is just so good. And our clients, in many cases, I think like them more than they like us advisors.
Yeah. And led by the best in the business, in my view, and Catherine, who's been there from the very start.
Yeah. So. One question I think is interesting to look back on. Was it always your intent to create the team approach that we ended up kind of morphing into? Was that something that you felt like was missing when you know, I'm back in 18 now, like when you're starting Full Sail, or was it just kind of, we're going to focus on the client. However we build the team, we build the team, because it really morphed into everybody's going to help have a piece.
So one thing I remember talking to clients about when we started was, you know, we wanted to focus on, you know, trust. Our previous firm was growing, and at some point we didn't really have great technology to keep up with them. And so it was hard to service all those clients. Yeah. And the commitment we made to clients is, hey, we're going to come out. We're talking to you, Mr. and Mrs. Client. We want to focus on a smaller number of clients. Well, it was kind of a good problem to have, but we started growing really quickly and we started bringing on more clients. So our commitment was always, okay, as we grow, we're going to add new advisors because there's only so many clients each of us can take care of. And then it was just kind of an obvious thing after that to add new skill sets as we added advisors. And I think it was absolutely the right thing to do. And again, the diversity of skill and experience made Full Sail Capital kind of what it was. So what would you guys say, Dave and Scott?
I would just say that it was intentional, very much intentional. Sure. And that's why it was so hard to hire somebody.
Yeah.
We talked to people a lot. We talked to a lot of different people that we walked away and went, yeah, we wish them well. But we wanted to look different from our competitors, which would be a shop you'd walk into and everyone's siloed in their own office, right? Yep. In fact, everyone is competing against the office mate next door. I mean, we wanted to have a team approach, and we felt like that would be our special sauce, that whatever, if ever we had all these different skill sets, whatever our clients needed when they came in, they might only work with one of us, but if somebody had a lot of unique needs, they might work with the whole firm.
Yeah.
To help us solve the issues they had.
Yeah, I think what I would just add to that is we wanted to attract the best advisors.
Yep.
Was ultimately kind of what, but we wanted to attract the best advisors that understood that we would be better together.
Yep.
That's what proved harder than I think we anticipated.
Yep.
And getting people to buy into the reality that you can't be all things to all people, but you can build a team that can essentially serve the client from a lot of angles is really the right way. It's where the business was going.
Yep.
And we saw that. I think we were trying to begin to build that out was our vision.
And not to jump too far ahead, but you know, we've all heard Dave Welling, who's our CEO at Mercer Advisors, talk about one team, this idea, and that's repeated over and over. And I do think that is in contrast to some of the some other investment firms that are a little more sharp elbowed.
And it's what drew us to them.
Yep. Sure.
Yeah.
And if you just think about this again for clients. That can't, like, the sharp elbowed environment does not serve their interests. Nope, when you don't have an open framework for sharing best practices and helping advance every advisor within the firm and encouraging people to serve each other's clients and so forth, there's no way the client's getting the best experience or the best advice. It's impossible.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. As Full Sail takes off, you go from three, you quickly have Catherine and Max with you, or they came with you. So you're at five. I mean, then we joined Mercer, we were 16. I got hotboxed in the conference room.
Literally, we couldn't afford air conditioning on that side of the house.
It just was one of those, if you shut the door, the AC was off, it got a little warm. Yeah. It worked. What were some of the, just briefly, some of the successes and challenges you saw during the time building Full Sail, because I think that plays into where we are today and how we arrived here. So what were some of those successes and challenges to you guys as business owners, as leaders of the firm, in your own individual roles as chief investment officer and advisors?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take that. And I suspect we all kind of go back to the same thing. And I'll just talk about my aspect, but each of us and everybody in the firm played such a big role, but it was during COVID, right? And it was such an crazy event that no one had ever experienced before. And it tested us and challenged us in all sorts of ways, but just from an investment side, I mean, we had a market that dropped 33% in 32 days and just unprecedented fall. And, you know, we had made, you know, this commitment to clients that, hey, we're going to be evidence-based, we're going to do the right thing. We saw people in our industry who historically had said the right things, done the right things, lose their minds and freak out a little bit and make the wrong choices, sell out of the market out of fear. And I'm incredibly proud of the actions we took, which were true to the promises we made to our clients back then. We were disciplined. We communicated with our clients and we walked with them through that very challenging period. And as everybody knows now, it's easy to say in hindsight, 2020 ended up being a fantastically good year in the markets. It also was gave us tremendous tax loss harvesting opportunities. It was just, it worked very well with our strategy, but it only worked because we stayed disciplined to our strategy. And so that was on the investment side. But, you know, the thing Scott did just with the firm, with employees, what David did with clients, I think it made us, it proved out kind of what we promised clients when we started Full Sail.
I mean, we were, just for context, I mean, Full Sail was 2 years old.
Right.
So, yeah, everybody here around the table had the experience, but Full Sail itself was still a toddler.
Yes.
Well, I don't think anyone remembers, too, really, the end of the first year of our company. We had a horrible market. Yep. I never
December
will forget
2018.
Like Christmas Eve watching the market just get crushed and going, Merry Christmas.
That's right.
I went home going, well, this is a great time to come out and start, but I'm with Zach. I was amazed by, you know, we always say discipline trumps conviction, and it's a cool thing to say, but can you actually do it? And when the market goes down 33%, 34 days, was that correct,
yep.
Zach? I mean, that's when it's tested, and I was just incredibly, I'm like you, I'm incredibly proud. Scott had us set up from a technology standpoint like nobody else.
Yep.
I mean, we had at every one of our employees' homes that we had already replicated their desktop. And so we didn't miss an hour of working for our clients, even though we had to send everyone home. And I think you and I were at the
we didn't go home for long.
I guess we weren't afraid to get infected. But either that or we were really stressed that we got to keep this business going. But it was like, I love how it worked, because he didn't realize that he had a lot of foresight having us set up that way from a technology standpoint, and because who knows what comes tomorrow, right?
Yeah. It's funny, you never anticipate a global pandemic, or at least in 2018 you sure didn't.
Right.
But what I always thought about it through the context of is, well, what if there's a fire? What if a tornado hits the building? What if road construction just makes it really inconvenient to get to the office? And it's like, you got to be able to operate from anywhere, because we have to be able to serve clients all the time, no matter what.
Yeah. No matter what.
But certainly it proved to be effective in 2020, which was a nice surprise. It worked.
I couldn't agree more. I was here during that time too. And it was coming out of a firm where I was siloed or on my own. And I mean, it was fine. Like, I had chose that. I can't imagine going through that without having a team to collaborate with and lean on and get through that to serve our clients. So that was by far a challenge, but then a success coming out of it. So Full Sail gets to a point where we've grown a lot. I remember we crossed over a billion, and then we're at billion and a half, and then we're approaching 2 billion. Like, what was that growth like? And then I want to get into the Mercer story, but as we're there, you're established, you feel proud of what you've built. It would have been easy, I think, to just, hey, we're great, like, this is awesome, we're just going to keep rolling along. What kept fueling the fire to grow? What kept fueling the fire to serve more clients?
We were all born entrepreneurs. There's never a point where you go, okay, we did it, now we don't have to do anything else. It never feels that way. It's always, what's next? How do we get better? What's the next piece? How do we keep how do we keep growing? How do we keep serving our clients better? What I think started to happen to us was, as you grew, you realized that you begin to fight a war on many fronts, right? You're trying to grow because you know that's the key to being able to hire the best talent, have the best systems, have the best software, the things that you need to continue to elevate your client service. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I hope, clients who listen to this understand, is those were the conversations behind the scenes, was always, man, what can we do to keep serving clients better as we look forward? But you're also confined by how quickly you can add great people like you, like Kyle, like Hunter, you can only do that so quickly. And then there are all these services that we wanted to add, but you feel the strain of being able to build those out while you're providing the best service you can provide to the clients as you've made promises to, and find new ones. The bigger we got, the more you feel that strain. That for me.
Well, and two, Zach was coming to us and really educating us when we first started, when we got off the ground. He goes, hey, I want you to read this piece from Michael Kitsis. Is that how I say his last name? I always struggle with
his
last name.
Yeah, you got that.
And it's called The Dangerous Middle.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically was, hey, man, and we were in the dangerous middle, not for long,
right.
But we were stressed when we were in it, because it's where you're big enough to be a viable business, but you're not big enough to do what you need to do to grow in the way of adding people, et cetera, et cetera. I'm really grateful. We sat down. We had a strategic planning meeting. We had an offsite and made a crazy goal of what to grow to get out of it, and thought we could do it in 3 years, and we did it in like 12 months or 18 months, something like that. But that was part of it. There was never this, hey, look, we have $500 million under management, right on. I wanted to celebrate all the time. Zach was the one coming to me going, that's great. What are we going to do to get to a billion? I was like, okay, well. But we needed that. He was like the, yeah.
The point of I think Kitsy's piece is that scale is very important in the wealth management business, kind of for the reason Scott was talking about. You have to continue adding talent. Really, the direction of the wealth management business is doing more for people for the same amount of fee. And so, like, for us, okay, you get to a billion or you get to 2 billion, it's like, okay, what additional services can we add for clients? How can we add additional value? Yeah. And frankly, it was going to be hard, because we got to the point where, all right, if we want to be true family office, do we need to buy a tax firm? Do we need to have estate planning attorneys on? Like, that gets challenging at a $2 billion firm, and that was one of the reasons we started looking for a partner.
So that leads me into kind of our transition here to Mercer, but everything's going well. Everything's great. There are no complaints. I mean, we have our issues like any firm as far as just growing pains, but everything's going great. What led to opening the door to looking at some of these options of partnering with a larger firm? And it kind of tees off of what you were talking about of do we go out and buy a tax firm? So how did you get to the point where you start looking at what are the options as an RIA in Oklahoma City? What do we look for? You might explain that process, the interest that came in, which I think is fascinating, and then we can get to Mercer.
Well, one thing I'll jump out and say before Zach starts talking about the process is we really just started looking at the industry. And Zach and David and I, all of us, spent a lot of time, frankly, better understanding what was happening.
Okay.
What the biggest players in the space were doing, looking at their models, why they were doing it, trying to figure out exactly where the puck was headed. To Zach's point, the obvious thing is that scale allows you to do more. Great. But there's a lot of ways to scale, and not all ways are right. So we spent a long time just trying for ourselves and for the benefit of our business to understand, where is this industry headed? And it was really from that vantage point that we started looking around.
Yeah. I mean, David mentioned strategic planning earlier. We went and did that, and we came up with multiple plans.
Yeah. Right.
You know, we could have stayed an independent firm. We had a growth plan. We had a succession plan. We had all those things in place. But to Scott's point, you know, you go to these industry conferences and you meet some very impressive people. You learn about some very impressive firms. An interesting point, I think a lot of people know this, we got approached very early on in Full Sail's beginning.
Yeah.
People wanted to buy us all the time. What we came to realize, though, was just like with investments or hiring people, anything else, you really need a process that leads to the best potential outcome. And what we didn't have in just having one-off conversations was a process.
Mm-hmm.
So we made the decision to, okay, we recognize here there's advantages to scale. There's great firms out there who act like us, who act like fiduciaries, and they have some things that we don't that we could potentially offer to clients. Okay. So that led us to start a process. We eventually talked to 15 firms.
Okay.
We narrowed that list down to 3 firms, and we actually went on site and we met advisors, their investment team, their executive teams, got a chance to ask all sorts of questions. And
it was actually 4 firms.
And
I think what you ought to boil it down to, of the 15, 13 made an offer. And I remember an investment banker's going, we've never seen this ever.
Well, why did you, not in detail, what knocked some of those 13 out? Like, what were some of the immediate things? You're like, nope.
Yep.
I love that question. So many things. Before we ever started that, we had built the framework from our study of the industry of what we felt like was really important.
Right.
And this is another thing I want to make sure that our clients who ultimately listen here, which is that we went into it with, we had to have a firm that was structured like Full Sail was structured, that was going to put clients' interest first. So there were lots of things that we could get to the bottom of in an hour and a half conversation with firms and figure out, this is not the promise we made to our clients, so you're not a fit. And in many instances, that did not take very long. And the cultural aspect was an important thing we were looking at too. Do these people feel like us, right? That was an important part of it. But looking at all the firms, there were easy people to knock out simply because the next thing they were going to ask us to do was go sell product to clients. That was not going to happen. So
yep. What we kind of had in the back of our mind too was like, at least I know why I did, and I'm sure you guys did too. I didn't want to do anything to betray the confidence of the people that signed paperwork on folding chairs in a borrowed conference room table.
Amen.
At the very beginning of our firm, that just, you know, before when we were $2 billion, it's a real easy decision to come with us. An incredible track record, all that. But at the beginning, those are the people that I would just keep thinking about as we were doing it. And I'm really grateful we ended up partnering with somebody that what I think is what Full Sail would have become had we kept going for 20 years.
That was the comment we kept making to each other when we started to get to know Mercer Advisors better was, man, if in 20 years, if everything went right, we might look like them.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we know there's a shortcut here to get our clients what Mercer Advisors is already offering.
Yeah.
So like it kind of becomes hard to say no. And I'll just add too, like to David's point, the investment philosophy was for me the most important thing.
I wanted you to talk about that.
And, you know, we went and visited Mercer Advisors. We actually went up to Boulder and I got to have dinner with Don Calcagni, who's our chief investment officer. Excuse me. And it was just such a good conversation because a lot of the things we had started to look at or we were doing, Mercer had already done due diligence on, they had implemented. And we just viewed the world very similarly. So it gave me a ton of confidence that even though, you know, things might look slightly different, there was tremendous alignment from an investment perspective.
Yeah. So you do 4 on-sites. You go meet, like you're explaining, you went to Boulder and met with Mercer. Out of that, you came back and had a clear number one. You came back and thought, hey, these two, like, kind of run through that process real quick for us.
I don't even think there was a clear number two.
Really?
It was just a crystal clear number one.
Okay.
I don't know, Scott called it better than anything. A couple of our meetings, he goes, my gosh, we would be like assimilating into the Borg off of Star Trek if we joined this other firm.
Whatever,
so you might want to elaborate on that, Scott.
Well, I again, going back to it, you've got 3 things. We'll say the obvious thing. For us, as the owners of the firm, we understand that we're exchanging our equity, right, for equity in another firm that we have to have a lot of confidence in as owners. Yep. All right, that's the bottom of the list. The second is structure. How are they built? Are they a fiduciary? How are they serving clients? What services are they offering? How are they developing those services? Like, what is their fee structure? All of those things. And then there's the culture piece. Do they look and sound and feel like us and our team? All of that. That was the piece that as we went and visited firms, we were really looking for. And you can actually walk into someone's office space and know, are these our people or not?
Yeah.
How do they carry themselves? How do they treat the people who are delivering our lunch? How do they talk about their clients? How do their employees act as they come in and out of the office space? Do they seem relaxed? Do they seem stressed?
Sure.
I mean, those are all things that give you real insight into what it's going to be like to live with the decision to partner or select a firm. And I think that was, there were some people you're like, oof, this is not who we are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into Mercer. you kind of already said it, Zach, but the thing you kept telling the team as you were, and I'll pause here, and I will say the way you guys handled this process with the Full Sail team, I think needs to be commended, because it was done in humility. You did not have to let us in at the point you let us in as far as knowing what was going on. But man, I think all that did was solidify the culture we have and the trust our team has in each other. I want people to understand, like, it was a transparent process, as transparent as you needed to be or could be. But from my seat, I sure appreciate that.
Well, one thing I'll say to Mercer's credit, even as, you know, we're talking about what the different offers from firms look like, Mercer made it very clear in their offer that they wanted to take care of our employees.
Yes.
Make sure that they felt very confident and were incentivized and bought in to Mercer Advisors. Yeah. Not every firm did that. And sure, I think that sends a signal too. Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, someone said earlier, we're in a people business, and our best assets walk out the door every night. Those are our advisors, our client people. Service team, our people.
Yep.
So that was just a signal right off the bat. Yeah. That Mercer was the sort of place that we always tried to be. We always wanted to take great care of our people, because yeah, they are our most important asset.
Yeah, well, we said all along, we want to find a partner that it's a fantastic fit for our clients, it's a fantastic fit for our employees, and it's a good thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out, yeah, Mercer was all three.
Let's talk about Mercer.
Not to be, yeah, Mercer Global Advisors, yes, not to be confused with Mercer, the Marsh McLennan subsidiary, for those of you who are Googling right now and looking at the wrong website.
That gets really fun in my world of benefits.
Yes,
yeah, I'm sure I bet it does.
So who are they? Like, we've talked about why you got to pick Mercer, like why they were the clear number one, but who is Mercer to you? Like, when you're sitting down talking to clients, what are you saying?
Yeah, so when you think back to Mercer Advisors beginning, mm-hmm, a guy named Kendrick Mercer, who was a tax attorney, recognized very early on what I think more and more people are recognizing today, in that wealth management and estate planning and tax advising all need to work together.
Yep.
And if they can work together, the client has better outcomes. And what was hard was back in the 80s when Mercer Advisors started, that just wasn't the way business was done. You had a lot of large brokerage houses. That's where most wealthy people had their money managed. There were some family offices, but they tended to be, you needed huge amounts of money to fund a family office. Mercer Advisors' promise is a family office for your family.
Right.
And they've been able, because, and this goes back to the scale conversation, at $80 billion plus in assets under management now, they can bring an integrated family office where you do have the tax piece, the estate planning piece, insurance review, things like that, to bear for clients who don't have $500 million to create their own family office. And I think that is where the industry is headed. We have seen, when we have close integration, and we work with some great tax advisors here locally, we work with great estate planning, yeah, attorneys. When you have that team that's cohesive and works together, that leads to the best outcomes for clients.
I want to hear from David and Scott. I think that's a piece we've tried to reassure our local partners on, is that if we've got a cohesive, good relationship, we want to continue to do so. This is just going to allow us to serve more clients at that level.
And Mercer Advisors would tell you the exact same, yep, thing. They say all the time, hey, if you've got a great tax advisor and your client is happy, leave them there. Yeah. There's no reason to disrupt it.
Well, I think it's because, you know, whether you're talking about Mercer or you're talking about Full Sail, everyone realizes the same thing. There are fewer and fewer people to serve a growing demand in our space. The need for people, really expert and quality people in the tax space, in the legal space, in the wealth management space, just continues to grow, but the people are not there to serve it. And so I think what Mercer Advisors is trying to do is make sure that infrastructure is being built for people who don't yet have the relationship and need it. It is getting more and more challenging to find, yep, new clients, great tax partners, to find new clients, great estate planning partners. It's just getting tough. So they have, it's no different. They're trying to meet the client's needs and build what they need, but at the same point, recognizing that there are other solutions out there. And that's the cultural piece and the structural piece back to why we like them so much. That's, think about the humility that it takes to say that, to build it, to try to build it, but also recognize that we're not going to be the right fit for everybody. And if you're happy where you are, by all means, stay there.
Yeah.
We have no incentive as advisors to move those relationships. As long as the client's being well served, I'm thrilled. That's all I care about. You know, that's a really unique thing that they've done and how they've built it. And what I observed industry-wise.
Agreed.
Total.
What would you add, David, on who they are to you? What did stand out? What stood out about Mercer?
I was amazed that an organization with 80 plus billion in assets under management could operate as a team. And we've tested that. You know, we really have. Every interaction I've had with my Mercer teammates from one coast to the other have been people who are very happy to be working there,
mm-hmm.
and people who are very willing and wanting to help me,
yep.
or my client when I'm calling with an issue that they have a skill set they can. And I will say this, to create that culture at this scale, I think is, to me, it's kind of breathtaking because I think it's incredible. It was difficult to do it at 16.
Yep.
Yep.
So I look at what they've done.
And I think it goes back to the types of firms that Mercer has chosen to partner with. I mean, that, you know, for us, we saw all these firms. We chose Mercer in the very same way Mercer chose us. They pass on a lot of firms. Yeah. And I was able to go up a couple weeks ago to headquarters and meet some of the newest crop of firms because Mercer's acquired a few firms recently. And what was consistent, kind of back to, I think Scott or David said this earlier, but those were our people. They were people who acted like us, who were fiduciaries, who wanted to put the client first. We got a chance to ask, you know, the CEO and the CIO and all the top executives questions. And truly, the questions were, okay, how can I work in my best client's interest in this particular way within Mercer? Like it was just, that was the tone of the question. And I looked around, I was like, this is great. This is exactly the sort of teammates I want to have. Yeah. And I think it does lead to David's point to just a collegial environment where we are one team.
One question I think I'm hearing a couple times, mainly they want to know what's changing. And I just basically have to tell them that the logo and the name, other than that, we're going to look and sound the same. How are you three, how's our team focused on maintaining our boutique approach with clients that they currently feel while also having a large, like David said, they're 83 billion in assets as of this summer, 100 plus regional offices, having that big resource behind us. How do you feel like we will balance that going forward?
I can't give attribution as to where I heard this the first time, but big enough to matter, small enough to care, was always, I think, a mantra I tried to keep in my mind, even as we were growing as Full Sail. I think Mercer Advisors has done a great job of keeping that. Every single client has a handpicked advisor where the work on their behalf begins and ends. So there is real accountability that is direct to a client. If you are in Oklahoma City, you have an advisor that is serving you. But as I tell the clients that I work with all the time, I spend way more time talking about you behind your back, so to speak, with my team. And now when I step behind the curtain, instead of having 14 other people I can talk to, I have 1,400 other people I can talk to get advice, to deal with something that they've already confronted with a client, to use their expertise, to draw on financial planning, to draw on estate planning expertise, to draw on tax advisory expertise, all these things that I can now do. And yet, when I step back in front of the curtain, it's still the same person they were talking to before. Big enough to matter, small enough to care. My job is to know what my clients are asking for and to leverage Mercer Advisors' resources to get it. I think that's what we did before as Full Sail, and I'm certain it's what we're going to continue doing here.
Yeah. David, Zach, would you add anything to that?
No, that was said so well.
Yep.
I don't think so. I'm excited about what lies ahead.
Yeah, me too.
Because I'll say this too. I don't think we say it enough. Many of our clients have heard us say this. We don't have our own personal money managed by someone else.
That's right.
And we were pretty doggone thrilled by the investment process of Mercer and what it's going to do for ourselves personally, along with our clients. We eat our own cooking.
Yep.
And so we never put somebody in something we aren't in ourselves. And so I love that that's going to continue. And I know this. There are things that client, we're going to have issues that clients will come to us about that we would have had to race out there and find some expert that we didn't have because we didn't have the expertise in-house. Now it's going to just be, wait a second, hold on, let me make a phone call.
Yeah.
And we're going to have that at our fingertips, the Mercer. So I'm excited about what's to come.
The one thing, and even this week we talked about it internally, but something that speaks to my nerdy heart is Mercer's evidence-based, data-driven approach to everything.
I wanted you to talk a little bit about it, just how you feel from your seat, because Full Sail was created, David said earlier, around this idea of how you viewed the investing world.
Right.
So, yeah, please continue.
And tremendous alignment there, like I said earlier. At some point, Mercer's investment team, which is much, much larger than our entire, I think they have 80 or 90 people in their investment team, four or five times what the total number of Full Sail employees. So they've got a tremendous investment team. That leads to a lot of just capacity and ability to do things like due diligence. And as most folks know, you know, we've been more and more active in the private markets. I think that's been great. However, it takes a tremendous amount of time and manpower to do successfully. They have the scale to do it. We view the world similarly there in the private markets. Public markets, the same thing. At some point, we'll have a kind of transition. We're mid process right now where Mercer's investment team will take over the day-to-day trading, rebalancing, tax loss harvesting, all those things. The great thing was they use the same software that we've been using since 2018. So I know it. I know what the process will be like. I have every confidence the outcomes are going to be great for clients. So I feel very good about that. But even beyond the investment group, the data-driven, evidence-based approach, like one thing I think clients will see is we're going to learn a lot from Mercer. We're going to adopt some of their ways. They even talked about, you know, the best outcomes for from a particular client meeting are when you run it this particular way. And like, I love that because they have had thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of client meetings, and you learn a lot collectively when you do that, that we can all adopt. We don't, one thing I, you know, every client has heard to say, we don't have all the answers, but we'll go find them. We can find them a lot quicker in an organization like Mercer Advisors. So I'm very excited about the future
and
well.
And their humility. I will say this, just this week, and to touch on what Zach is talking about, that the science behind a client meeting, I'm going to adopt that. I've been doing this 36 years. It was so brilliant. And it was something we would have never come up with. And it's way better for our clients.
Yep.
Way better for our clients.
Yeah, I think we are ultimately our craft is serving clients. And what's been refreshing is to be surrounded by people, to Zach's point, that have had hundreds of thousands of meetings instead of hundreds of meetings that you can draw new best practices from, that we can pick up all kinds of pieces of wisdom that are going to enable us to be more effective for clients. That's what when I get out of bed, that's what I think about every day. How do I do a better job of being an advisor today than I did yesterday? And it's amazing that I have things like that meeting where I go and I get fed 30 things that I could be doing a better job of. And I love that. Again, no lack of humility in admitting I can get better every day and I'm looking for a reason and a way to do that. And Mercer Advisors has already proven they can give us that, which is super refreshing, you know, 15 or 17 years into my career to find.
And kind of last thing I'll say on that is I have appreciated their humility in looking at what we do in our processes and going, wow, that's something I think we can learn from. You would think a company at this level would just be going, come on, guys, we have all the answers, but they are constantly seeking to find a bet. If someone has a best practice somewhere that they haven't adopted yet, they're going to reach out and grab it in a firm they're acquiring. That is That if you can do that at their level, it's just genius.
It's really smart.
One thing I think that this has allowed all of our team to do is to now have capacity to bring on more families. We now have we've joked about it, but it's like I feel like we're back above treading water. We're back like on the boat finally, and we can go do what you're talking about, Scott, which is going and being an advisor, going and working with these families. So I think to close, what's now your approach? You know, we're talking to our clients, but we're also talking to the people out there that aren't experiencing this. What can a client expect? What could a family expect if they were to call us now at Mercer? What are they going to get? Like what's your 2 minute, like, here's what you can expect.
One thing that I love about Mercer, and Scott already said it, is a handpicked advisor for you. So if someone hears this and calls in, instead of trying to find one of five or six advisors here, if the best advisor for a particular family in Oklahoma City is in California or New York or Florida,
because of their specialty, because of, or exactly, their unique need,
they you know, use example of maybe the client speaks a foreign language, and you know, none of us speak Mandarin here, right, unfortunately. But if that's a need for a client, there's likely an advisor within Mercer Advisors who's going to be a fit. Yeah. So like, just right off the top, I think we can hand pick that advisor for a client. And then from the, you know, as you said earlier, we have way more capacity now because you've got specialists in lots of different areas doing some of the most important work, which lets the advisor spend more time getting to know the family, communicating with the family. And I think that, to your point, we are open for business now in a way that we simply weren't six months ago. We just did not have the capacity. Guys, what would you add?
No, I think that's right. I think I was always honest, you know, with my clients as we grew around the frustration of I'm having less and less time to dig in. And now I'm feeling more and more time coming back. And I'm seeing that in what I'm able to work on for the relationships I'm responsible for overseeing for the firm. But what I would add is I think we can do this for a lot of families. And one of the things that always frustrated me as we were doing what we were doing, even before Full Sail, is we've all always acted like fiduciaries. And then when we were truly fiduciaries and continue to be, it is very frustrating that there are people out there that still are not doing that. And I mean really doing it. I hear great, you know, sort of ways to say you're sort of like a fiduciary adjacent is my favorite one by far. Or, you know, being a fiduciary is really just a gimmick. I've heard this, which is just ridiculous. We have an obligation to put our clients' interests first. I take that very seriously. And being able to do that for more families and show them what that means in results is awesome. It excites me that we can bring that to more people in Oklahoma City, and I hope we'll get the opportunity. I think we will. Yeah.
Gentlemen, I appreciate it. We're going to put a bow on Full Sail, and we're excited for our clients to continue to experience Mercer Advisors and everything they offer. We're excited to, like we just talked about, to meet some new families, some new companies, some new institutions, and I mean, we barely touched on everything that Mercer can really do. So my hope is that we can continue to put out some material for our listeners, and we'll highlight some of these things. But until then, we appreciate you listening. I appreciate you three. Thank you for sitting down and sharing your story. And I'm excited to see what the next 5 years look like.
Well, and just to wrap up, I know I speak for everybody here in expressing gratitude to all the listeners, but most particularly, as David said, those clients who were with us early on, with us day one, showed that trust in us. We were filled with gratitude, and we are very excited about the future as well.
Very proud of what we did as Full Sail Capital over nearly 8 years, and I'm super proud of what I think we're going to do in the years ahead.
Agree. I appreciate it. You guys have a great day.
Cheers.
Hey, thanks for listening. We sure hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you would like more information on Mercer Advisors, be sure to check out our website or follow us on the socials like LinkedIn or Instagram. Have a great day. Full Sail Capital is a trade name owned by Mercer Global Advisors, an SEC registered investment advisor. All expressions of opinion reflect the judgment of the speakers as of date of publication and are subject to change. Mercer Advisors is not a law firm and does not provide legal advice to clients.
All estate planning, document preparation, and other legal advice is provided through select third-party unaffiliated to Mercer Advisors. Tax preparation and tax filing are a separate fee from our investment management and planning services. Mercer Global Advisors has a related insurance agency. Mercer Advisors Insurance Services, LLC, MAIS, is a wholly owned subsidiary of Mercer Advisors, Inc. Mercer Advisors was ranked number one for non-MEGA RIA firms. The Barron's 2025 and 2024 top RIA ranking is based on a combination of metrics, including size, growth, service quality, technology, succession planning, and others. No fee was paid for participation in the ranking. However, Mercer Advisors has paid a fee to Barron's to use the rankings and marketing.